Walking increases creative output by 60%. We are designed to function at our best when we are moving. When we're physically active, our brain releases BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is like fertilizer for our brain. It helps us to solve problems, to think more clearly, to be more creative. There's another study by Stanford University that shows that compared to sitting, walking increases creative output by 60%. And those creative juices continue to flow after you sat back down. So you can see that there's all of this amazing stuff available to us if we can just find these little moments to get moving.
Hello and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career, find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of the Brand My Career podcast. And today I'm lucky enough to have Lizzie Williams on with me, or Williamson. And this is going to be one of the most active talks that I've had on my podcast. So if you're watching the podcast, I'm sure you'll see a lot of bright, fun activity happening today. So Lizzie, thanks for coming on.
So great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So would you be able to, I guess, kick us off by sharing a bit about what it is that you do? You're the author of two books, The Active Workday Advantage and 2 Minute Movements. Share with us a bit about what it is that you do.
This all really started for me when I had postnatal depression. It was 16 years ago, and I couldn't get myself to exercise anymore, even though I knew it was one of the best things I could be doing. I'd been a professional dancer, and I knew I just had to do something, but it was the first time in my life being in that mental state that I knew what was good for me, but yet I just couldn't make that jump to actually do it. And it was at that time that I started, just by accident, doing these little 2 minute moves, they ended up being called, at my kitchen bench, like it was my ballet bar. And so those little moments really became my lifeline in this really, really dark place I was in. And so then what happened was I started sharing these 2 minute moves to people I knew were struggling with their mental health, and it just grew and grew from this very organic place. Ended up doing, you know, the books, the TV, the conferences, the workplaces.
Yeah. So take us back to your career journey. So that's led you to this point. Like, what were some of your goals and aspirations as you were going through your career journey before you ever got to this point?
Well, I was a professional dancer, and one of the big jobs I did was on a cruise ship. And when you're on a cruise ship, you're on there for, you know, often 6 to 12 months, something like that. So the audience comes on for, you know, a few days or a week or a couple of weeks, but as the dancer, you're on there for a long, long time. And it was really at that time where I started to, you know, I was on there, you'd have to go out and to this stage that was a rocking ship, and there was a whole lot of drunk people out there and everything. It was a really, really challenging time, and I loved to dance so much, but it was really at that time I started thinking, maybe there's something more here that I could be doing. And I wasn't sure what that was, but it was really when I had my two daughters, had this really dark time, discovered the power of movement, that I really started to see, this is the message that I could start to spread. And really how that began in terms of going into to workplaces and helping conferences and those type of things, was that I would be sitting in conferences and looking around, and no matter how good the speaker was, you know, there's times in the day where people are just starting to, you know, stifle the yawns because, you know, they've been sitting for hours and they're switching around in their chairs. And I would look around and just think, if I could get up on that stage and get everyone doing some moves in some kind of way, even though we've all just got this tiny amount of room, I reckon the whole energy of this room could shift. And so I started pitching that to conference organisers, and that's what I started doing. And the proof was in the pudding. It made such a difference to the energy and the focus and the engagement of people there at the conferences. And and then that led to then doing more, you know, expanding that out into more speaking and helping workplaces get more active.
Mm. So what does movement do for someone? So thinking that someone within the office context at work, what does movement bring to them that maybe they're lacking naturally through the what the job looks like?
It's, you can imagine in your workday that you had access to this pharmacy, and in the, you could go in, there's a room in your office there, and you go in when you're feeling stressed out or you're just hitting that 3 p.m. slump, you're struggling to focus, maybe just not in a good mood at all today. You're just not in that state of mind that you need to be in. And you go in there and there's a pill or a potion or something that you could take, and that helps you with those moments. And we have that inner pharmacy inside of us, and it's just waiting to come out. And the way we access it is by getting our body moving. You only need to look at all the science and the research to know that physical activity helps not only us physically, not only helps keep our bodies supple and flexible and active, not only keeps our heart strong, but it also does incredible things for our brain and our mood. And it releases these fantastic hormones and chemicals. And I remember one day thinking, why aren't we accessing this in our workday? Lots of us are exercising outside of work. Well, one in three of us are getting enough physical activity to maintain good health. The other two out of three need more. But why are we accessing this? And so this idea of how can we make it possible in our workday when we need our brain to be there for us, when we're wanting to get more confident, all the things that research shows that exercise does for us, how can we actually make this possible in our workday? So that's what I've been doing for this past decade, is looking at how you can make it possible, how you can make it achievable, how you can make it so you don't feel too self-conscious, and how then you can start to make this just the norm, the part of your workday, and then if you're with an organization, the part of their culture as well.
Mm. What are the common barriers or pushback that you would hear and experience that? Because I'm assuming there'd be a whole range of pushback just because of people's own insecurity around it, feeling like, oh, what's that even going to achieve? Like, it's so small, how could it have any results, let alone really big results? What's the common pushback?
Whenever I get up on stage and people know I'm going to get them moving, this is what I hear. Oh, she's going to get us to move. People generally don't want to move, even though we know it's probably going to make us feel better. The groans that I hear, but those groans always very quickly turn to thank yous. But there is this big initial resistance. So it's definitely those two that you mentioned there, this idea of, oh, no, I am not exercising in front of colleagues. There's no way I'm going to do that. I feel too self-conscious to do that. Then there's the thing of, what's a short amount of time going to do? A huge one that I hear, probably the most common one, is time. I don't have the time, and I, don't have the energy, the inertia, can't get motivated, all of those things. And when people say that to me, I really encourage them to take on the title that I was given by the US media when my first book, 2 Minute Moves, came out, and that is the excuse buster from down under. And just to say back to that voice when it's saying to you, I don't have the time, the energy, I can't be bothered, just say, just do 2 minutes. That's all you have to do. And if that other voice in your head says, well, 2 minutes, that's not going to do anything, you only need to look at the research of micro breaks, these little moments of physical activity, what they do for your brain, for your heart, for your mood. There's a study by Sydney University that showed that just 3 or 4 1 or 2 minute bouts of VILPA, and that is these little vigorous moments of physical activity you do in your regular life. So say you are running late for a meeting and you're doing a fast walk, or you're running for the bus, or you're taking a set of stairs, just those little moments like that, they decrease your risk of all-cause mortality by over 30%. They decrease your risk of heart disease by almost 50%. These little moments make a big difference to our longevity, but also in the moment. There's another study by Columbia University that shows that just a 1 or 2 minute walk every 30 minutes your day has a significant role to play on regulating your blood sugar spikes, which means after you've eaten, you know, the blood sugar goes up and then it goes down and then you're on this energy roller coaster ride. So that physical activity helps to sustain our energy because of the way we use glucose when we're physically active. And those little moments also help to improve our energy and our mood. I mean, I could list go on and on and on. In my book, The Active Workday Advantage, there was so much research I could pull from these little moments of movement. But we think, no, it has to be the big thing. That's what we need. But so often in our day, we don't get to do the big thing. So what do we do instead? Nothing.
Hey, Alex here. Just wanted to reach out to everyone and say thank you so much for following along with the Brand My Career podcast. I'm really loving having the conversations that I'm having and bringing this content to people. I want to keep bringing more content to people. I want to bring stories of people's career journey. And one of the ways that I can be doing that is by getting your support. And one of the ways you can do that is by shouting me a coffee. On my website, you can find the link to shout me a coffee to help me keep bringing more content, building what I already have done and improving it, getting better, getting more and more people on and sharing their career stories and the lessons that they've learned along the way. So thank you for following along, and would you consider getting on board and helping me take it to new heights?
We've got this all or nothing. We want to really turn that all or nothing into all or something. Something is so much better than nothing.
What would a transformation journey look like for someone? So they were the person pushing back to you saying, no, like, what's 2 minutes going to do? And then you've won them over. They've built consistently into their routine 2 minute movements throughout their day, maybe at home as well with the kids and the family. And now that that's built in their routine over a period of time, what's that transformation look like? What are the things that they're now seeing in their life that they're like, oh, wow, like, I can't believe this is now my life?
My own transformation journey, just to start, was the moment I really, really saw what these little two-minute moments could do was a few months after, it was probably 6 months after I had started doing these little accidental two-minute moves at my kitchen bench. And before that, I had really, really lost that real connection with my family, with my little baby and little toddler. And this one day, my toddler said to me, let's have a dance, Mum. And I'd always been either faking my way through it and say, oh, no, I've got to cook dinner or whatever. And this day I said, yeah, okay, let's have a dance. And I'll never forget, we started dancing together, and then I had my little baby up on my other hip and toddler on one hip, and we started dancing together. And I looked at them as I was dancing, and it just hit me in this moment, because I looked at them and I actually really saw them. I was looking at them in their eyes, and here I was back present with them in a way that I hadn't been for so, so long. So when we take little action to help ourselves feel better, show up for ourselves, reconnect with ourselves, when we take these little moments to prioritize our physical and mental well-being, no matter how small, they can lead you to these places that are so unexpected. You think, you know, come on, really, like, that little thing, what's that going to do? But there's something about that little step, the little step. And then, of course, there's a ripple effect that starts to happen from that. I started to get more professional help, started to talk to friends more, tell them how I was feeling. I was moving. So then I started to eat something other than my kids' leftover soggy toast crust. And just starts to ripple out from there, then ripples out to your small present, then that ripples out to me being able to show up more for my work. You never know what that journey is going to be like for you when it starts with that little step, but it's often that first little step that can feel really, really hard for us.
Yeah, it's that ripple. It's not that, oh, I started like treating my kitchen bench as a ballet bar again, and that I'm not going to use the right terminology, sorry. And all of a sudden now I'm getting promotions, and I'm going, it's this ripple of the movement gets other things happening in your body, and that gets other things happening in your mind, and then that gets you taking action that brings results that bring results that bring results, and it all ripples out. We sort of get good at overcomplicating life at times, don't we? And often they talk about, you know, a lot of mental health could be cured by a glass of water and eat some veggies and, you know, and do a little bit of movement, and it unlocks all this stuff in ourselves that we've sort of shut down through just the systems that we live within and the mindsets that we have. And that leads me to mindset. Like, how important is mindset within all of this?
It's huge, because the mindset really, really gets in our way. If you are in the mindset that I certainly was in, so many people I speak to are in that mindset, that all or nothing. If today I can't get to that particular gym class I always need to go to a certain amount of time, the location, I need to be in this certain activewear with special equipment, then oh, well, that's not possible for me today, so I do nothing. And that mindset, the rules that we have around things like physical activity, even meditation, lots of well-being practices, those rules, that mindset can stop us from taking action. And what we know is that if you can start taking action, no matter how small, not only does that start to build momentum, that little micro momentum, when you start to take a little bit of action, you start to feel a little bit more motivated, you take more action, and you get that brilliant thing that we know that is momentum. But what also happens is when we take action, no matter how small, it's this moment where you get to start to build self-efficacy, this confidence. I showed up for myself today. And yes, it was just 2 minutes there when I was sitting on my chair at work and I did this, you know, stretched out for 2 minutes and I didn't even get off my chair, but I made sure to look away from my screen, roll my shoulders back, just checking with my posture, move my spine out of that same stuck position. You showed up for yourself today, and do that again tomorrow, and do that again the next day, and the next day, and the next. And if we can get in this mindset that these small actions that we take actually really do count, that they do matter, and that we can do it consistently and consistently, man, when you start to build momentum, magical things happen.
Because you're almost able to then build into your routine and your day some little wins, right? Like you can build things that, you know, I'm gonna get up from my desk at 10 o'clock and I'm going to do some stretches or whatever activity is that you choose to do, and you're going to treat that as a win. And it's, there's some ways to give yourself, like, you're just giving yourself a few wins for the day, that because the other wins might be harder to get, so you're sort of guaranteeing a few wins, right?
That's right, exactly. And wins feel really, really good. We're often looking for those wins in our life, but often we think it's the big wins. We're always looking for those big wins. But if we can look at those little wins, and what I love to do when I have a little win, and my little win is disrupting, you know, long hours of sitting with some movement, just standing up, stretching, having a quick little walk, you know, lifting up some weights, whatever it is, no matter how small, I'm in this habit now, which is a fantastic thing to do, because in a way it closes this habit loop of, you know, this trigger. The trigger might be, oh, my shoulders is feeling really sore. The routine, the habit is, okay, right, I'm going to have a little 2 minute stretch. And then we want that reward part of it. And what I started doing quite a long time ago, and I think it really, really helps, is my reward that I give to myself, or to set off the, you know, the dopamine, the beautiful neural reward pathways in my brain is to make sure that I celebrate the moment that I've taken, celebrate this little win that I've shown up for myself. And I'll do that by, you know, giving myself a little high five in the reflection of my computer, a little, you know, fist pump. Or sometimes I do a bit of a yes, good on you. And I just say it to myself. And that's really quite powerful. And it's a really powerful thing, I think, to share with other people, to make sure you're doing it for other people as well, whether that's your kids or colleagues or whoever, you know. Good on you. I just noticed that you took a little twist of your spine there when you were sitting there. Well done. And if we can do that for ourselves, then our brain goes, oh, gosh, they did something really good there. You know, they didn't. Your brain doesn't know. It's just this tiny little stretch. Let's do that again. We'll do that again tomorrow and the next day and the next.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then you're showing up for each other as well, which I think is really important. What is happening to your body when you're sitting still for 8 hours?
Your heart doesn't have to work as hard when we're sitting down, and that can lead to a buildup of fatty acids that can clog our arteries. And when our heart goes into that sleep mode, it's like a muscle. We're not using that muscle. And that's why government guidelines, World Health Organizations, one of the big reasons that they're quite concerned with this prolonged sitting that so many of us are doing without breaking it up, because it can be very, very damaging to our hearts. The other thing that's happening is that when we are there in the same position in our body, and so we're not moving some of the times for a long time. Lots of us are on these back-to-back meetings, and now we're on these virtual meetings. So in a way, we're kind of chained to this in the same kind of position. So you can imagine how everything just gets so tight and stuck there. And so therefore, when you move and you get up and you put something in the dishwasher, you bend over and you moved for the first time in so long, of course your body just goes, and it makes us so much more susceptible to injuries. In fact, one study shows that intermittent stretching throughout your day decreases your risk of musculoskeletal pain and injuries by 72%. And it makes a lot of sense. When you're moving and then you're moving more in life, your body's much more supple. And then, of course, it's just when we are sitting there in this prolonged position, we are missing out on all these incredible things that happens to our bodies and our brains when we move. We are designed to function at our best when we are moving. When we're physically active, our brain releases BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is like fertilizer for our brain. It helps us to solve problems, to think more clearly, to be more creative. There's another study by Stanford University that shows that compared to sitting, walking increases creative output by 60%. And those creative juices continue to flow after you sat back down. So you can see that there's all of this amazing stuff available to us if we can just find these little moments to get moving. And it's pretty easy to find them. If you are on the phone, can you sometimes stand on up and have a little pace when you're on the phone? Could you suggest, instead of a virtual meeting, to take it as a phone call, and so you could walk around the office, even walk outside if you were on the phone? Little moments, if you're taking sips of water in your day, attach a little stretch to it, even a simple look away from your screen from side to side. Turn around behind you like someone's called out for you, so you're moving your spine out of that same position, because our spine gets so inflexible when we do a lot of sitting. A few squats in your day after you've just finished a back-to-back meeting, stand up and do 10 squats is another study that shows that that's just as effective as a 30-minute walk in your day. So many little things that we can be doing to really help our bodies and our brains, and in a way, if we're kind of crazy not to be taking advantage of this.
So I know it from myself, the days where I'm just purely in the office, at the desk, at the computer, and I can often tell the days where it's going to be a grind. Some days when you're really intellectually engaged, you might get through it a bit better and you don't feel it as much. But there's some days where it's like instantly from the first email you're trying to read, you just feel like your energy is draining. And maybe that's, you know, something to do with you've eaten or not eaten, or how much or too much caffeine you've consumed that day and stuff, and you're shutting down. But is there anything in relation to movement that you do early in the day versus if you wait until you've already hit this period of like really drained and zapped and stiff, and then you do some movement, versus if you're getting up and quite early in the day, you sort of get some of that movement happening? Like, are there greater benefits to be experienced if you're doing it earlier versus leaving it until you're reacting to the symptoms?
Yeah, well, certainly, especially if you've had breakfast, it's really, really great to get a bit of moving after breakfast because of how our body effectively uses glucose. And it's very individual, isn't it, as well? I mean, some people, if you like to move a bit in the morning, that's great. And if you're someone just like, oh, I hate this so much, then it's harder to prescribe it as well. But I find, and it's one of actually my most viewed 2-minute moves on YouTube, is the morning energizer moves seem to really, really help people and really resonate with people as well. It makes a lot of sense if you can at some point start your day somewhere in there with some kind of physical activity. It really does give you a mood boost. It gives you an energy boost. And so even if that was some 2 minutes before you, if you're sitting down at work, before you sit down at work to have like a quick walk on the spot, lifting up your knees up and down a few times, having some big stretches up with lifting your arms up to the ceiling, just this little moment that you could take to start your day, it certainly from what I hear really, really helps people as well. But then again, if you're there going, oh gosh, well, it's already 3 o'clock and I didn't do that, so oh well, I guess there's no point me doing anything at all. No. So not the case. Remember, something is so much better than nothing, whatever works for you. And if you get to 3 o'clock and think, oh no, I haven't moved at all today, and I know it's really good to move in the morning, don't worry. Get on up if you're physically able, or do something right now in your chair. Do what you can do, but ultimately find something that you can do consistently. And if that for you works, having a certain time of day, so just before you sit down to start work, early in the morning, lunchtime, whenever that is, then that consistent time can really work as well. But if that doesn't work for you and your work, if it's a bit all over the place and you never know what it is, find another way that you can make it a consistent thing, whether that's setting a timer on your phone and don't have the phone on your desk, whether it's attaching to something like we were talking about then when you're in between a back-to-back meeting or taking a sip of water. And ultimately, if you can find someone or a group of people or your workplace to do this together in some way, even though in the beginning you might like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that, I don't know if I want to have a little stretch in front of people, that is the way that I have seen such success amongst organizations.
What would be some techniques that you would use? Let's say either you're in a workplace and you want to get encourage the people around you to do it. What are some of the techniques that you would use to sort of help people get past maybe their embarrassment and their nerves to take part in some group micro movements?
When you're doing it virtually, certainly what works really, really well is playing a video. I know that you've spoken to Mel at Medibank, and that's what they do. They start meetings playing a 2-minute move, and people can have their cameras on, cameras off. It doesn't matter. But there it is. There is a movement that you can do, and you start implementing this by keeping it so simple and so accessible. We're not saying, okay, everyone, let's get up for 20 star jumps. Let's go. We're starting by saying, okay, let's turn your head to one side, look away from that screen for a moment, because we know that's so great for screen fatigue and resetting stress. Turn your head to the other side. Come on back. Check in with your posture. How are you going? Are you slouching up, slouching over? Let's roll those shoulders back a few times. Just take a stretch on up to the ceiling and down we go. We just know how effective those little stretches are because we've read this research, whatever you need to say on that meeting. And then as you start doing that and bring in some more things, okay, we're going to do a stand up, sit down, those who are physically able to do that, or we're going to pretend we've dropped some pens on the ground either side of us and lean over and pick up some pens. As you start slowly doing that, it becomes a lot more acceptable. And it's like when we first saw stand-up desks, we thought, God, that is so weird. How would anyone, you know, work standing up? And now pretty much every time I go into an office, there are sit-down stand-up desks everywhere. A lot of the time the stand-up desks aren't being used, but they are there. And it's just so normal. If someone was there standing up working, you would look at them and go, ooh, that's so weird. You wouldn't do that anymore. And the same thing starts to happen in workplaces when they start going, you know, this is what we do now on our meetings. We start it or in the middle of a meeting or at the end, we'll say, right, we're going to finish 2 minutes early and we really, really encourage you to go and have a stretch, have a quick little walk, whatever it is that you need to do. It starts to become the norm. But remember, if you're feeling, oh, just this feels all a bit too hard and embarrassing for me, it can be so small and so, so subtle. If you're sitting there, a little kick out of your legs underneath your desk, you know, a little, like we were talking about before, that turn around, that twist. The idea is to get your body, if you're able to, out of that same position that it gets stuck in. And if possible, find a little way to get your heart working. And that can really be, you know, as simple as kicking the legs out under the table.
As you were talking and you mentioned it, and I had just started doing it beforehand, it was encouraging people to become aware of their posture. Because then as you were talking, then I was starting to notice, actually, I'm a bit stiff in my shoulders and I can feel I'm leaning forward and it's sort of putting tension on my lower back. And so imagine I know what my pushback would be, and it's not that I don't see value in it. It's I've lost a lot of confidence in my body over time as I've gotten lots of injuries. So I did my ACL and then I rehabbed it, and then jogging on the treadmill, my meniscus in the same knee snapped. And then you just keep losing this confidence. And every time you try and get back on the horse, it's something goes again. And it's, and for me, like growing up, you know, running was my thing. Like playing AFL football and running were like my things. I just loved it, lived for it. You love the challenge that it brings and the sense of accomplishment and all the good things that come with it. And then it was pretty much from 28 was just consistently kept injuring myself. You keep going back and then you keep injuring yourself. And you really get it in your psyche. And I know for me, like, it's a confidence thing now of, well, and I've finally started to come around to the idea of, all right, I need to start making my goal more about mobility rather than getting to a destination of what I could achieve with my fitness. Like, when I was rehabbing my knee, I was telling myself, oh, I'm going to give myself the goal if I want to get back and run a marathon. And that's going to be my motivator. Now I've had to go, my motivation is that I can, like, move, particularly, and even this into older age, as I watch my dad hobble around, and I still grunt getting up off the chair, more so out of habit of listening to him grunt getting out of the chair than the actual need to grunt, though now it's probably becoming more out of actual groans. But, so how would you coach me? What would you say to me, that someone that sort of needs to build up that confidence in their own body just to get moving again?
We need to get you to a point where you can trust in these small, small steps. I was a personal trainer for a long time, and I would have clients that would come to me quite injured, often from doing very intense exercise classes, and they'd say to me, well, I can't do anything anymore. I've got this injury, that injury. And say, okay, this is where we're going to start. We're going to start on the floor and we're actually not going to get up for half an hour. We're going to do these simple little moves. And you could see them going, oh, what is the point of this? But those clients that stuck with it, and week after week, month after month, just stay there doing these little moves, this, you know, lying on your back, just doing bridges, lying on your side, doing simple Pilates clam, this non-impact, this the simplest moves that was really not having any kind of harm on their body, not pushing their bodies too much. Every single time, it was those clients that did the small little things, and they kept at it and they kept just trusting it. I'm just going to keep showing up here, even though this is nothing like I used to be. It's those clients that are now, they might not be back doing those hardcore exercise classes, but they are certainly back doing, moving in a way that is actually have them feeling really good, really confident. But it can take a long time. So somehow you need to make a commitment to yourself that you are going to do just this one thing every day, and just trust in that one thing that you are going to do. Just keep doing it, keep doing it. It's the thing that you're going to look back in 10 years' time and think, I am so glad that I did that, even though at the time it felt like nothing. But now, over this consistent amount of time, this has meant that now I am able to get on up off my chair without groaning. Whatever that thing is for you, I would find that one thing and make a real commitment to yourself that you're going to do it. For me, it's when I walk in my door and after all, you know, just I always try and do it before the kids go to school. If I'm doing it in front of them, especially if I'm doing it in front of them, I've got a couple of weights at my door there, and I will lift up my weights just for 2 minutes. And, you know, I used to be super fit, was lifting super heavy weights and, you know, doing burpees, all of that. I just can't do that anymore. I just injure my body. But I've made this commitment that every day I am going to lift up these weights. They're 5 kilogram weight each, not super heavy, but I really feel them. And I know that in 10, 20 years' time, I'm going to look back and think, oh, I am so glad that I did that every day for 10, 20 years, because now look at me here lifting up my grandkids, doing all these things. I'm still strong. I might not be running marathons, but I'm able to live my life, hopefully, the way that maybe I couldn't if I wasn't taking that small, consistent action every day.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll take that advice on board. What does this do to a workplace, like a workplace that really adopts this as a culture? Because I feel like it's obviously going to have so many benefits to people's careers, because all the underpinning health things are the things that we need to, you know, advance our lives and whatnot. So what does this do to the culture of a workplace and the environment?
Incredible thing happens when we move together. And I don't know if you know any of the work by Kelly McGonigal. And she wrote a book called The Joy of Movement. And in this book, she talks about when we are physically active and we're working, you know, our muscles, they secrete something called myokines. And scientists have dubbed these hope molecules. And what it does is it helps us feel more hopeful, but also helps us want to be more socially connected to others. When we move together, our rhythms start to come in line. You can see it in cultures, how when we celebrate, so often movement, music is a part of that. And you think, okay, well, how does this relate to a workplace? So many people are feeling disconnected at work, disengaged, working remotely, even sometimes in the office. What I'm hearing so much is we just have lost this connection. And as a workplace culture, as colleagues, how important is that connection with each other? It is so, so important. So even though it might feel like it's a bit of a strange way to boost connection, it is so backed in science and research and evolution, how it helps us connect with each other. And I've really, really seen that in workplaces when they not only virtually, that they will do a two-minute move, they'll, you know, do this together, but also in person. What happens is people start to, you know, they're going from, oh gosh, what are we doing? And then we start smiling and having this laugh together, and you feel this joy and this fun. And we forget that we can actually have fun in our work days. It is such a powerful thing. And that is the cherry on top of all the advantages that some physical activity gives you as an individual with your brain, with your body, with your mood, with your spirit. This is just this beautiful overarching way that it helps to connect people and bond people. And it's not just a theory. It is backed in so much science. So why not give it a go? And you'll have some naysayers and the groaners and all those people. But let me tell you, every time I've done it, and I have done it, I just did it with an audience and a leadership team, and I was warned, you know, we have got 250 introverts out there in the audience. And so, but we really want you to engage them and energize them and show them some tools, the way they can move more in their day. And I thought, okay, we could do this, because every time the same thing happens, people are like, oh, I don't know. Then you start to look around and other people start to do it. The energy, that movement is actually infectious, and it is incredible to see people looking at each other in the eye, just like I was looking at my little toddler and baby in the eye. Then you get to connect when you move together.
Yeah. Yeah, you become in sync, and you probably start to be able to predict one another, and people really feel like you're reading each other's minds when you get to that place of you're really synced with one another. Like, yeah, I don't know the science as well as you, but I've seen it, because you see it in different types of cultures and groups, the way that they incorporate movement into, you know, their culture and stuff, and the way it synchronizes people, and then even your heartbeats start to get in rhythm, right? And all this stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, there's this bond that is created through that movement that, you're really understanding and connected with one another, and unlocks all kinds of potential. Liz, thank you so much for being on. How can people find you and connect with you?
You can find me online really, really easily. If you put in 2 Minute Moves or Lizzie Williamson, I'm there. So connect with me there. On LinkedIn, I'll often put out some moves that you can do in your week as a bit of motivation to help bring that energy, fun, and activate your week. So would certainly love to hear from you there.
Awesome. And if we don't find you there, we'll find you on the Today Show getting Carl moving, right?
Exactly, with the wine bottles.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Liz, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.